Hey everybody, welcome to episode 2 of the South Carolina Wrestling Report, part of the Double Dropkick Show. I am joined today by Robert Truesdell, a.k.a. Redbeard. Robert, how are you doing today, brother?
Heath, I'm doing fantastic. It's always good to be with you on the program.
And it just so happens, you know, we want to give a shout-out to our sponsors at soscustomtees.com, which is the only place you can get the official shirts of the Double Dropkick Show, the official shirts of Wrestling for Redbeard, and the official shirt of the Carolinas Professional Wrestling Awards. So make sure you go to soscustomtees.com and buy all of our shirts and help us out, support the call.
It is a one-stop shop, what can you say?
So before we get into the winners of the Carolinas Professional Wrestling Awards, I had you on maybe a month ago. And that episode, the announcement of the finalists, blew up on social media. Now, this is just me personally. I want to get your opinion, obviously. I thought it was great. I mean, it just shows people are passionate about the product. And I would much rather have that than no reaction at all. But I know you got a lot of calls and letters and all sorts of stuff, but what was that like?
This time of year is always very interesting for me because whenever we release the finalists, you have a group of people who are really happy about what happened, and you have a group of people who are like, well, why wasn't I included sort of reaction. But like you were saying, this year in particular, the reaction was such that we really got confirmation people are paying attention more so than they have in years past. Because you don't get this kind of reaction unless people are passionate about what you're talking about. So you hate to disappoint some folks, but at the same time, I'd rather have a reaction period than people not reacting period and you getting a bunch of chirping crickets in the background. Right. So it's been a very interesting time, but I think we are doing some good things with these awards still. We're honing our process. That's something we maybe could talk about in the future, not on this episode as well, but we're getting there. We're doing some pretty good things, I think.
And to be quite honest with you, it was that reaction to the announcement of the finalists that kind of birthed this new project. South Carolina Pro Wrestling Report, we've updated our website at doubledropkick.com. If you click on the events tab, every event I know about in the state of South Carolina 2018 is already on there. I'll be posting results from every show. All the promoters have been great so far to get in contact with me and send me their results. And so it's been great building those relationships. And that's frankly because I thought, man, this is something the fans would kind of want. So without further ado, let's get into the winners of the CPWAs. If you're listening to the audio of this, if you go to doubledropkick.com and check out the show notes, there's a great video Redbeard put together of all the winners. But let's start wherever you want to start. Let's go down this list.
Well, we'll kind of follow the same process we did in those videos. Speaking of which, before we get into talking about those, I want to take a moment to thank Michael Elliott of Elbow Productions and also the High Spots Wrestling Network. He was very helpful in putting those together and in making us look a lot better than we probably would otherwise. But in taking a look at our winners, to start off with, we'll talk about Ring Announcer of the Year, which that was Brett Wolverton. This is the second year that Brett has won the award for Ring Announcer of the Year. There's a lot of good competition in this category, though. This has been one of those where people have kind of said, hey, well, maybe we could shelve that one for a little bit. But I don't think so. But definitely not going forward, I think. But Brett did take home the award, though.
Yeah, he one of the better ring announcers out there, does a good job. The thing I always appreciate about Brett is he gets your product over. He keeps the crowd engaged and just doesn't just do what you ask and expect of him, but just kind of goes above and beyond. And just a super great ring announcer.
He has a very quick wit about himself as well, which there are moments when you're in the ring occasionally where you have to respond to someone who might be egging you on in the crowd. So he's definitely qualified for that too.
That's right. Well deserved on his part.
Next category we'll talk about is Kevin Pierce having won the Referee of the Year category. Kevin was a little bit coincidental in the timing of having won the award this year because he was also a member of our panel. That at the same time, though, I will say was definitely a worthy award because Kevin works with CWF Mid-Atlantic, a number of other promotions, and definitely a top-notch official. I've compared him in the past to Tommy Young in terms of his mannerisms and how he moves around the ring, a lot of the just the things that he does from a presentation standpoint. So I definitely appreciate Kevin not only from the standpoint of the work he's put in, but also for the things that he was doing as a member of the panel this year. So he gets double kudos from me.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that always puts in quality work. And like you said, one of the things that I looked at as a panelist was how many different promotions people work for, and Kevin checked everything off the list this year.
Yep, definitely. And moving on from there, one of the categories that we talked briefly about the Ring Announcer of the Year category almost haven't been put on the shelf. Another one that almost got on the shelf this year was Manager of the Year, but we had a lot of great managers involved in this part of the world this year. And the winning manager was none other than George South. I saw kind of a funny comment from George. He, of course, has several of his sons who are involved in the business. And I believe George Jr. had made a comment about, well, you've been in the business for 37 years as a wrestler, and now you win an award for being a manager. So it just was a little bit funny there. But George did some great stuff leading the Expendables stable there at AML Wrestling. So great to be able to show appreciation to him for that.
Yeah, George is just one of those unique characters that probably outside of the South isn't really appreciated, but it was great to see him honored for his work this year. And really, you know, when you think about the Carolinas, there are a couple of dare I say, dominant promotions, and he led the dominant faction in one of those promotions.
Absolutely. It was him, Zane Dawson, and the Heat Seekers there. Definitely a formidable combination of talent.
That's right.
And going on from there, we'll take a look at the Feud of the Year category, which, you know, this was one of those things where in the past we've had people talk about, well, what's some of the things that you gauge a category on, and timing of certain things happening in a year can occasionally play into it, but I will say that overall the winning feud being Corey Hollis and John Skyler definitely was the right combination of timing, but also of execution of that narrative, which had been going on for, you know, we're trying to trace this thing back, it's at least, I would say, a year in getting to the point where they were when this match happened. And we're talking about the unsanctioned fight took place at PWX Unsanctioned here within the past couple of weeks. Tremendous battle,
right.
Bloody, the kind of thing that you look at from a classic perspective of professional wrestling, that it was just everything that you hoped for. I don't think, though, that this is the end for those two guys. I think we've got a lot more action to come from these two. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I remember, I can't remember the exact show last year for PWX, but there was a four-way title match, Anthony Henry, Sammy Callahan, John Skyler, and Corey Hollis, and there's a point where Callahan makes Hollis tap out, and Skyler, instead of saving him, lays back in the corner and lets Hollis tap out. And it was just this great moment of planting that seed of what's going to happen with these guys. I mean, again, that's over a year and a half ago. And I think for me, had there been a match of the year category, I would have probably voted for their match to be match of the year because of what it meant. Because of the sheer brutality of it, and just it was such a callback to 80s professional wrestling. I would have voted that match of the year for sure.
Really and truly, it could have stood the test of time in looking back at, you know, great feuds of classic eras, and it just goes to really pay a lot of respect to the people who were involved creatively and planting those seeds as you described, but also just in Corey and John for executing that as well as they did. Really, really amazing stuff.
And the fact that John Schuyler wrestled in a Big Trouble in Little China shirt, a Jack Burton shirt, does not get the credit it deserves. That was absolutely incredible.
I tell you what, I don't think he's going to be able to wear that one again unless he's got some good OxyClean, though.
He should auction that one off. Somebody would buy that.
As many people as there are out there who buy gear from guys, you never know. You may have a market for that one there as well.
That's right. That's right.
But one, speaking of things where there is a big market, we'll talk about the Rising Star of the Year category, which this category people were a little bit confused by in looking at the number of nominees and finalists that we had. This is something that we can try and explain. I'd be glad to try and give it a shot. But we had 14 finalists in the Rising Star of the Year category, but the one who did come out on top was none other than TJ Boss, who's a member of the Syndicate and also the E&D factions. And he finalized the year by being the APW Chester Heavyweight Champion. I think that you could probably put a number of names up here for this category and really call them top contenders.
Right.
But I don't think that you could top TJ, though, in terms of the progression that he made in looking from the start of 2017 to where we are now, and just him coming to the forefront of so many different angles and perspectives in this scene, both in terms of being a tag team wrestler and also a singles competitor.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was first introduced to him 2016 at a Battlezone show and was blown away. Had never heard of him, had never seen him before, and I just thought, why is this guy not getting, booked everywhere? And then 2017 he did.
Worked out pretty well for him there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's great to see the progression of a young man like that who's been around for a while, but at the same time, never really had the opportunity to get the shots that he is now. So it's a real testament to him and sticking with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, moving on from there, we're starting to get into our top three categories now. We'll look at the Tag Team of the Year category. This was one where we kind of had a dark horse come out of nowhere to win this one. And that was the Dawson brothers, Zane and Dave Dawson. A lot of people aren't incredibly familiar with them, but they are the current CWF Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Champions. They've competed for companies like Modern Vintage Wrestling and others out there in Eastern North Carolina.
That's right.
And I think the combination of these two in terms of physicality is what brought them to the forefront, because these are two mammoth men.
Yeah.
We're not talking about small dudes here whatsoever, and the combination of that with the look and with things that they've been doing in CWF Mid-Atlantic, I think, here again, could have been some timing involved, but definitely a team that had a great 2017 and is really primed to continue into 2018 with a lot of domineering tactics there. So we'll have to see what is next for them, both as the CWF Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Champions and probably, I'd say, in some other promotions there as well.
They were, of the finalists, they were the team that I was least familiar with and made sure, before that final vote, went back, watched some of their matches from CWF, and they are just there's just not a lot of tag teams like them today. That beast tag team, and CWF Mid-Atlantic, just one of the best produced, best action, and as people are going to hear, they had a pretty good year in the awards here.
Overall, definitely was a good year for them. And I'll say this, in terms of the arenas that we have in this area that are dedicated purely to presenting professional wrestling, I don't know if you've seen what they've done here recently, but they've got something of a VIP section.
I saw that.
There are recliners and food service and whatnot, and I'm like, it's a good thing I don't live in Burlington, North Carolina, because I would be there every time the doors were open.
That's right. That definitely needs to be a road trip we take in 2018.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to making a stop up there to present some of these plaques here in the not-too-distant future. They were very kind in having me up there last year to present the Feud of the Year Award, which Roy Wilkins and Trevor Lee won.
Yeah.
So we'll hopefully be able to make a trip up there not too far off in the future. But the next category we'll take a look at is our Female Wrestler of the Year. And I'm very glad that this young lady was recognized for her efforts. We awarded the Female of the Year plaque to Savannah Evans this year. Savannah is undoubtedly, in my mind, the top female wrestler in this area in terms of a consistent performer who has dedicated their time really to the Carolinas. There are others that kind of come and go, but Savannah is that consistent. I shouldn't say stalwart, but she really just is the one who has been noticeable in this part of the world. I think there might have been one potential other that I wouldn't have had a fight with in terms of if they had won, and that would have been Stormy Lee, who is the old school championship wrestling women's champion. But definitely kudos to Savannah, because this was certainly her award to win this year, in my opinion.
And she, she has been wrestling so many different places, and the improvement that I have seen in her over the last, 12 to 14 months has been absolutely amazing. And not just talking about her ring presence, her ring awareness, but her charisma, her interaction with the crowd. I actually saw her take on Stormy Lee here. Boy, we were both there. A great match, and Savannah just showed great heart, great fire, and that was a really good match.
Great stuff, and you talk about the progression she made throughout the year. One of the more entertaining women's matches that I saw in the entirety of 2017 was her taking on ODB from the former Impact Wrestling talent there. Yeah. This was at a card that was presented up in Gastonia, North Carolina. Fun match. ODB gets in all her stuff, of course, but then Savannah was able to play off of it so tremendously well. Great to be able to recognize her for all she's done.
Yeah, awesome. And now, the biggie, Wrestler of the Year.
Wrestler of the Year went to none other than the Carolina Caveman himself, Trevor Lee. I don't think anybody had a more standout in 2017 than Trevor. When you look at just the fact that he's been in command of the CWF Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Championship for now close to, I think we're approaching almost 675 days of him having been the champion, taking on everybody from Michael Elgin to Rick Converse, C.W. Anderson, all these guys who were just really well-known, hard-nosed fighters, and didn't even mention the fact that he had what was considered a Match of the Year candidate with Chip Day back around March or April of this year. Just tremendous competition, and every time you see him in the ring, you know that he's left every bit of himself out there.
Right.
Great fighter, great wrestler, and again, great to be able to recognize him for all that he did in 2007.
Yeah, not even mention, what he's done in TNA. And he's definitely on that list. You and I talk about it all the time. Whenever you and I are talking Carolina wrestling, there's a list of guys who are on that, ready to get signed. And even though he's signed with TNA, he's one of those guys that WWE is always going to have their eye on. He's just unique. You call him the Carolina Caveman. Who else is like Trevor Lee right now?
I can't think of anyone. And it's one of those things that's just remarkable to look at the progression of him as a talent, because I remember two or three years ago, whenever I first saw him, actually it might have been longer than that now that I try and jog my memory, but seeing him perform as part of a PWX card where he was in a tag team, and to look back at him then, it was like, well, where did this guy come from?
That's right.
Because you had him strip away all those parts that worked really Trevor Lee to where he's now this, I'll go ahead and say this thing, but that's a term of endearment and respect, though, because of what he's been able to craft in becoming the wrestler that he is. So great stuff all around.
Yeah, so don't forget, fans, if you're listening to this, you can go on Facebook, Carolinas Professional Wrestling Awards is the Facebook group that you can join. It's updated all year, and again, your response to the awards is one of the reasons we got this podcast now to talk about, in particular, South Carolina Pro Wrestling. So before we move on to some other things, let me ask you, as you think about 2018, who are some wrestlers that you think are ready for breakout years that would be maybe your sleeper pick that maybe not everybody's paying attention to, but you would say, hey, you got to get out and see this guy?
Well, there's a guy that I'm hoping, and I'll go ahead and say hoping, comes over from the Georgia wrestling scene, young man by the name of Sean Legacy.
Okay.
Which I think you've maybe been to a couple of the Viral Pro Wrestling shows over there in Thompson, Georgia. This is a young man who has basically everything he needs. He's got the look. He's got a tremendous physique. He's an athletically gifted young man. It'll be great if he does get an opportunity to come over into South Carolina. Of course, North Carolina is a little bit easier to get into than South Carolina.
That's right.
But at the same time, if he is given an opportunity in the Carolinas, period, I think people will see very quickly what folks in the Georgia scene have seen, and that is potential for, I would go ahead and say, to be somewhat on the level of like a Cedric Alexander. I'll go ahead and put it out there in terms of his ability to make that next big step, and very quickly at that. So he's one of the guys that I'm looking forward to seeing more of in 2018. I'm going to continue to say that our good old-fashioned members of the scene, like John Schuyler, I'm hoping that he gets an opportunity to do bigger and better things in 2018. But at the same time, he's up there in that top two or three of guys who you know every time they're in the ring are going to give 100% of what they got. And along those same lines, I'll say Anthony Henry and also James Drake.
Yeah.
You know, those two guys are still working sporadically as a Lethal Enforcers tag team. You know, they had another opportunity in Evolve here, but I think it was either the Evolve 96 or 97 to take another shot at the tag team titles up there. But I still think they're two of those guys that you can always count on for delivering every time they're in the ring. So those are probably my top four right there.
I am looking forward to, there's some new partnerships between Battle Zone Wrestling and EWF with some, with promotions up in Pennsylvania, Rise Pro Wrestling, and also IWC. A guy named Bulk Nasty has been down from IWC and wrestled for Battle Zone a couple of times. A guy named Jimmy Vegas has been down. Rise has a lot of, they're a fairly new promotion, and to me, just keeping a good flow of new talent that people around here have never seen before. I think we're going to see, and even you got PWX coming to South Carolina, which means they're going to have some of their guys getting licensed in South Carolina, which again, just increases your pool of talent to book shows with, at least in our state. So I'm excited about a lot of these developments. We'll see what happens, but I think wrestling in the Carolinas is in a great spot. You know, as long as the fans are passionate, promotions are going to do well.
Well, you know, you hit the nail on the head there in talking about the fact that talent coming here is a sign of progress and of success, because, you know, it's not like I always pick on North Carolina because of the fact that it's easy to do anything in North Carolina.
Right.
In South Carolina, you know, it involves money. It involves the actual effort to be a wrestler or a promoter here.
Yeah.
So if you've got guys who are going out of their way to get physicals, to go through all that paperwork, to send in all their stuff, you know, get licensed and whatnot, then that just shows you, hey, there's a reason for that. And it's because the people are receptive. We've got a lot of promotions doing very well right now. I look at Old School Championship Wrestling and the success they have down there in the Low Country.
Right.
They pull in 300-400 fans every time.
That's right.
So, 2018, let's hope it keeps growing.
Well, speaking of promotions down in the low part of the country, there was a new promotion that's popped up here the last half of 2017. Tommy Rich Promotions. Tommy Rich has a school of wrestling down in Myrtle Beach now, and Saturday night, they just had their latest card. It was the night before Christmas, and they have crowned a new East Coast Championship Wrestling champion. So, Robert, I'm just going to run down the card here and then just kind of get your thoughts on it. So they had a tournament, and in that tournament, first match, Ethan Case defeated Elijah Proctor. Papa Stro, Maestro, defeated Fuego the Great. The Living Legacy, Timothy Zbyszko, son of Larry Zbyszko, defeated Brandon Paradise. Then Papa Stro defeated Ethan Case. And in the finals, it was Papa Stro defeating Timothy Zbyszko. And Papa Stro now is the new, or the first ever, East Coast Championship Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. They also had a ladies match. Renee Michelle defeated Jesse Jordan, two ladies I am not familiar with. And in the main event, classic tag team match, Doug Gilbert and Tommy Wildfire Rich defeated Deion Johnson and Zuka King. Deion and Zuka actually got the pinfall after the use of foreign object, and then referee was alerted to what happened and reversed his decision. But a pretty exciting card. I'm curious, have you seen Timothy Zbyszko wrestle?
I have, but it's been quite some time. Timothy was involved with the C4W Explosive Wrestling promotion that was involved there in Myrtle Beach. I've seen him around a couple different areas as well. Tim is, you know, he's a real throwback in his presentation and his look and whatnot. He's a guy that would hope at some point would get a little more opportunity to be involved with the promotion. So, I tell you, I kind of feel for him having to go up against Stro there, because Stro, people remember him as the Maestro in WCW.
That's right.
Well, but Stro nowadays is a lot more creepy of a dude than what he used to be back then.
That's right.
I'd be fearful of getting in the ring with him just because of that doll he brings out there with him.
That's right.
That's central right there. So, but definitely sounds like a combination of talent that would have been interesting to see play out there. Tournaments are always fun.
Yeah, really good. You know, as I look at the card, really good mix of some veteran talent and some up-and-coming talent. If you're listening to this on the audio, if you go to the website, look at the show notes, you'll see information. Tommy Rich does have a school of wrestling down there. Right now they're running a deal. The phone number's on there. Make sure you want to check that out. So we've also got some upcoming shows. It's a busy couple of weeks here as South Carolina ends the year. But this Friday night in Chester, December 22nd, bell time 8 o'clock, we got the Chester APW Christmas show, and they have already announced some amazing matches. So let's talk about this, and I would love your input. First of all, we got former tag team partners colliding, Kid Riot and Big Country. We got three-way, tag team match, High Profile versus the Gymnasty Boys versus John Schuyler and Brady Collins. We got a match that, as I say on commentary, a contrast of styles, Anthony Henry versus Mr. Sleaze. We've got the APW Carolinas Championship champion Billy Brash defending against Boris Baranov. We got tag team championship match, Sons of Steel, who have been champions for a majority of the year, defending against the Ugly Ducklings. And then in something that, had it expanded further in 2017, would have been a candidate for feud of the year, in my opinion, and that's TJ Boss defending the APW heavyweight title against James Drake in a tables match. Their last match where TJ won the title, I believe, was a last man standing match. So, Robert, thoughts on this card? And for somebody listening who's never been to a show here in Chester, how would you describe the shows there?
I tell you what, I have used this term for a long time in describing APW Chester, and that is to say it is a real diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
That building is just a special little place in terms of the talent that gets cultivated there and of the matches that happen there. It is a very nondescript little building behind the Napa Auto Parts in Chester, South Carolina.
Right.
But at the same time, you should not discredit that in saying anything about it, because it has some great wrestling happen there. You're right there by the ring. You're in front of these guys. You almost get landed on if anybody comes out of the ring. You can see the, I should say, blood, sweat, and tears, but you can't bleed in South Carolina, so we'll say sweat and tears. But it's just a great little place, and I love going there. I'm hoping to be there this Friday, because this is a card where you've got a main event that would be worth the price of admission alone. But in talking about the top two or three matches there, the tag team match for the championship there between the Sons of Steel and the Ugly Ducklings, that'll be a top-notch match there for certain. Then the tables match there between two of the biggest hosses in the entirety of Carolina wrestling, between TJ Boss and James Drake there. This is going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. So if you're at all in the area, if you can be at the APW Arena there in Chester, South Carolina this Friday, I definitely encourage you to be there. I think if I'm speaking incorrectly, I'm sure William Roberts will correct me, because I don't want to say the tickets are cheaper than this, but I think it's around $10 to get in.
It is $10 a ticket.
And you can get yourself a tray of nachos and a cold drink for about $3 there. So, in my opinion, you're not going to get a better group of entertainment options than you are right there. So, definitely encourage people to come out and check it out.
One thing I love about Chester, and I'm planning on being at the show Friday night, is you have a good mix of old school fans and newer fans. And it's just a great crowd. They are into every match, and I expect it to be absolutely packed and insane Friday night. And this was a case, you know, unfortunately, three counts event got snowed out December 9th. But a lot of these December shows are the equivalent of WrestleMania for a lot of these promotions. And this is just a... no pun intended, an action-packed card scheduled for Friday night. So that's Friday night in South Carolina. And then Saturday night in Mooresboro, North Carolina, which is just right across the border, which is why I'm kind of including them in this. EWF, Eastern Wrestling Federation, is having their huge card, double main event, both in a steel cage. You got the EWF heavyweight title on the line as Cruiser Lewis defends against Big Country. And then the tag team titles are on the line. Also in the cage, Sons of Steel versus Eric Anton and Chris Hamrick. They're also having a flag match between Mason Moore and Boris Baranov. And let me just say, I've been able to go to EWF shows in October, November. The build to this card and those three top matches has been absolutely incredible. The way that they have done six-man matches and different type things to build to this super card. I mean, two cage matches, which you don't get a whole lot anywhere in the Carolinas. You had Cruiser Lewis in November, or at the end of October, actually throwing a fireball at Big Country and catching him in the face. And the arena there, the Mooresboro Gym, very much like, it's a little bit bigger than Chester, but that same feel, that same vibe, the same type of crowd. And all the tickets there, only $5. So if you can get out to that one, would love your thoughts on some of this.
You know, EWF, unfortunately, is one of those promotions that I haven't had an opportunity to visit with yet, but I always pay attention to their posters and whatnot and to what they've got going on, because they're another one of those promotions that are very visible in this part of the world.
Yeah.
The combination of cage matches there, I mean, what can you ever think of in terms of the brutality of a wrestling match that cannot be expressed in the confines of a cage?
Right.
I'll put it to you this way, though, in looking at the Sons of Steel versus Timmy Anton and Chris Hamrick match, I wouldn't want to be isolated in a cage with Chris Hamrick.
Right.
If anybody's ever seen or heard one of the chops that he can deliver, you know for sure what I'm talking about. And Bryce Anthony over the years has absorbed a number of those, so he might be in line for a few more. But I think that'll be a great contest there. In the main event, you got a couple of real brawlers there, Big Country and Cruiser Lewis. that's sure to be a, it won't be a technical matchup, put it that way, but it will definitely be a fight. And that'll be worth the price of admission there. Only $5, that's amazing to be able to have wrestling cards and that be all that you're looking at. Think of what you can do with $5 normally in the real world versus being able to bring your entire family to a professional wrestling event.
And $5, two cage matches. So absolutely amazing. So it's a full weekend here. So like I said, Friday night in Chester, and then Saturday night in EWF, and then Saturday, December 29th, it's Collision in the Castle down at Kershaw, South Carolina, put on by Palmetto Championship Wrestling, which you and I have been able to go to some of their shows so far. Two matches announced. They're announcing another one as we're recording this tonight at 8 o'clock. But the two matches announced so far, Mason Miles versus Tracer X and High Profile versus the Ugly Ducklings. What are your thoughts on PCW and this card coming up?
Well, I'll tell you, we were talking here a little bit ago about people who could be a sleeper going into 2018. Mason Miles has reinvented himself here in going away from the classy persona that he had adopted there for a long period of time into where he's now classless Mason Miles.
Right.
I'm very interested to see what he does with that because I think that's going to be a little more in line with his true personality. This is going back in time a little bit here, but prior to Tracer X becoming the OSCW heavyweight champion, he had to first face Mason in a match to become the number one contender for that title.
Yeah.
So that's a match that's got some history there. These two men have been up and down the road together in a lot of different capacities. So looking forward to seeing what they turn in here with Palmetto Championship Wrestling. In regard to the tag team match there, this is something that I'm interested in seeing what PCW does in going into 2018 because they, to my knowledge, don't have a recognized tag team champion.
That's right.
But if you look at these two teams, it would be kind of apparent that they might be two of the top contenders if they were to ever debut such titles. Because here again, looking at those two teams, they've fought each other previously, and I'm sure they'll continue their legacy of turning in great matches at this card as well. Very interested to see what the rest of the card with them winds up being because you've got Shea McGrady, who is the company's champion. Just an entertaining young man, crazy antics in the ring, and definitely has earned that title in terms of having to fight his way through James Drake. So definitely going to be some interesting things to watch out for with PCW in 2018.
And you've got Big Country, who is the current PCW heavyweight champion. There's a possibility he walks out of 2018 holding championship gold in two promotions here. So, I mean, that would be a phenomenal accomplishment. Again, on the 29th, the ticket, this is a Friday night. Tickets, $10. Front row's $20. If you want to get tickets, you can call 803-530-1969. So, again, 10 bucks. You are not going to beat that deal at North Central High School in Kershaw. Robert, before I let you go, where can folks find you online to connect with you and keep up with the great work you're doing with CPWAs and just following wrestling here in the Carolinas?
Well, as you described earlier in the show, if you want to go on Facebook, you can use the search tool there to look up Carolina's Professional Wrestling Awards, and you'll find us very conveniently on there. Unfortunately, with the group page, you don't get a nice little facebook.com/whatever address. You have to delve a little deeper in terms of searching around. But you can also find me on Twitter. That's Wrestling with Redbeard. And also on YouTube. If you look up Wrestling with Redbeard, that's our channel name. We got a ton of great matches on there that we've been able to collect over the years. And that's really what that channel is all about, both my vlog, which I go around to shows and give people an example of what it's like to be a fan, going to these events and whatnot, but also try and collect these matches because of the fact that I feel like we really should be, I shouldn't say defending, but in some way capturing these things.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, you look back and, you know, you guys with 3Count did such a great job in producing so many great videos there with the action that you had on those cards. But I think so many matches and so many great talents get lost to time.
Yeah, that's right.
And you look at how many great matches Flair and Steamboat had, which nobody will ever see.
Yeah.
Because there were no cameras recording.
Yeah.
Not to say that all of our matches that we have are Flair and Steamboat quality, but at the same time, they're matches that definitely deserve to be captured and retained somewhere. So we're glad to be able to do that work. Definitely appreciate anybody hitting us up with subscription, comments, likes, whole nine yards, always welcome.
Well, my ambitious goal for 2018 is to either see live or to watch every wrestling match that takes place in the state of South Carolina, which by my count, we're looking at between 50 and 55 shows this year, more than likely. And so if I cut out not watching Raw and SmackDown, I got the time to watch them. And I've contacted promoters and say, hey, I know these shows are being recorded, because it used to be you had to record and send a tape to the commission. So I know these shows are being recorded, and I've messaged promoters like, listen, even if you're not posting it, I'll give you, if I'm not there, I'll pay you the price of admission just to have access to your videos. That's just that, again, that's just kind of this crazy project that I'm hoping to do.
To jump in here as well, I want to, we've made comments like this online, but I also want to put it on here as well. I want to challenge promoters, talent, everybody involved in the scene to appreciate what's happening here in terms of Heath being willing to put your information out there as part of the South Carolina Pro Wrestling Report and absorb all this content, because, this is a big project he's undertaking, but it's going to continue to take the submissions from people who are involved in the scene for it to thrive and for it to be all that it can be.
Right.
So I definitely want to challenge everybody out there to be a part of this thing. Help us out. We're doing some great stuff here. And Heath is he's taking on a lot, so definitely pay him his respects.
Well, it, like, as you know, when you're doing something you love, it just kind of breathes life into you. And so let me just say the same thing to you. Just thanks for what you do with the CPWAs. I know it's a labor of love for you. I know you got to put up with stuff. But hey, like we said in the beginning, the fact that there is a response shows that people are listening, that people are passionate about it, and that's better than no reaction at all. So I'm looking forward to hearing who the panel is going to be for 2018, and absolutely anything we can do to help you promote wrestling in the Carolinas would absolutely love to do that.
Well, Heath, I appreciate your time as always. You've been a good friend and a good ally in all this work that we've done, so I definitely appreciate your time and for having me on the show again here today.
And if you hopefully I'll see you Friday night in Chester. And Redbeard and I do not charge for pictures, so if you want to get your picture yet, we don't charge for pictures yet. Hopefully we'll see.
People might be charging us for taking a picture with them.
That's right. Well, Robert, hey, thanks so much. I hope you have a great day, brother.
Thank you, Heath. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, man.
Hey, fans, don't forget to check out our official sponsor of the Double Dropkick Show in the South Carolina Wrestling Report, SOScustomTees.com. It's the only place where you can get the official shirt of the Double Dropkick Show. You can get a shirt that says, I'm a Double Dropkick Show guy or gal. You can also get the quote shirt, Life's Too Short to Watch Bad Wrestling, from Mark Whitman. And on a personal note, you can get the Team Mulligan Fight Against Huntington's Disease shirt as well. Only at SOScustomTees.com. Thank you for your support. We'll see you next week on the South Carolina Wrestling Report when we have results from all of this weekend's shows. See you then.